Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.podomatic.com.
Hello again, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of Luke's English Podcast. Thank you very much for those of you who sent me emails, people who've left me comments on each episode, people who've given me reviews on iTunes, people who have responded to me on Facebook and have left comments on my Facebook page, people who've tweeted me on Twitter and mentioned me in various other forms. Thank you very much for all of your attention and your support. It's much appreciated. Thank you if you are a listener to this podcast long term, if you've been listening since the very beginning when I started doing this. And of course, if you're a new listener, then well done. Welcome to the world of Luke's English Podcast. And if you've already subscribed to this podcast, then well done. I think you've probably made a good choice there. And if you listen to every episode, you'll realize that it can help your English a lot. And I do get emails from people regularly saying that after listening to lots of episodes of this, they've noticed an improvement in their English. Often because it helps them with their vocabulary, but also just listening to this regularly is a very good way of improving your English. Imagine it being like sort of having a friend that you can meet every now and then and kind of sit with in a cafe or in the pub and just talk to them or listen to them speaking to you, a real English friend, just like being in London. Well, you can do that here, but it costs you much less money and time. You can just do it by listening to Luke's English Podcast. Sure, you can't actually speak in response. You can't have a conversation. But when you're, you know, in a country where it's difficult to meet foreign people, it's difficult to meet learners of, it's difficult to meet native speakers of English, then this is obviously a very good alternative, isn't it? Thank you also if you've sent me some donations. I have had a few donations recently, the odd kind of payment here and there, and I appreciate it very much. It certainly helps me to keep doing these things and to pay for things like the website subscription and for other things like my microphone, which I recently purchased. Now, in this episode, you're going to hear an interview which I did, a conversation really between me and another English language teacher who works with me at my school. Now, let me give you a little bit of background information to this one. Recently, I was just thinking about language learning, learning English and music, and particularly learning music, learning to play an instrument. And I was thinking actually in many ways they're quite similar. They're not too different. Now, I've got a big passion for music. I love to play it. I like playing the drums, the bass guitar. I'm trying to learn the guitar. And I've played the piano since I was a child. And so I've got a big passion for music. And I often listen to music on my Walkman, my MP3 player. So I've always got music in my head. And obviously, as a professional English language teacher, I'm always thinking about ways in which people learn English and learn language and how they can become masters of English. So actually, I've noticed there are many similarities between the two. So what I thought I would do is have a conversation about that subject, about the similarities between learning a language, like learning English, and learning to play music. So I thought, who better to talk to than my colleague and friend and fellow musician, Francis, who I work with at school. Now, Francis has been teaching English for many years. He started way back in the 1970s. I think he went to Colombia originally in South America, and he taught English there. He started in the mid to early 70s and he's been teaching English ever since. So that's over 35 years of experience of teaching English. That's incredible, isn't it? He also has learned Spanish to a very high level after living in South America for many years. He first started to learn Spanish when he moved to Colombia back in the 70s. And as well as that, he's an excellent guitarist, a very, very good guitar player. In fact, I play in a band with Francis and we perform live music in London, and we enjoy playing together very much. And I can honestly tell you that he's a great guitarist, and respect the way he plays music very much. So I thought it would be interesting to talk to Francis about music, about learning English, and about learning language in general. And so I thought I'd record the conversation so I could share it with listeners to my podcast. Now, I thought this would be useful for you because you can just listen to a genuine, natural, authentic conversation between two native speakers of English talking about a subject which I think you will find interesting, revealing, and informative. So let's just get straight to it so you can listen to it. Now, I recently changed my mobile phone. I don't use an iPhone anymore because I couldn't afford it. It's too expensive for me to use an iPhone these days. So nowadays I'm using a BlackBerry, which is fine. I love it very much. It's a great phone. But some things are not quite as good as the iPhone. And I actually recorded the conversation with Francis using my BlackBerry. Now, you'll notice that the recording quality is not as good. In fact, the sound quality is rather like listening to someone speaking to you over the telephone. So you'll probably notice immediately, oh my God, it doesn't sound perfect. It doesn't sound perfect. What? I can't understand every single word because it's not perfect. Well, what I'd say to you is, I think it's still a very good exercise for you to listen to this, because think about it. In real life, you're probably going to be using English over the telephone, aren't you? It's very common for you, you know, if you're going to use English at work, you're going to be listening to people speaking to you over the telephone. You might be doing conference calls. It could be through Skype. And in those situations, the sound quality is not perfect. So I think actually it's very good practice for you to listen to English when the sound quality is not perfect. So you should listen to the whole conversation, even if you can't understand everything. It's very good practice. It helps your ears to get used to hearing English when it's spoken to you over the telephone or using a conference call or Skype or something. It's very good practice for you. Okay, so stick with it. Keep going. Don't give up, even if the sound quality isn't perfect. Okay, there will be more podcasts in the future where the sound quality is excellent. I realized that I recently bought a microphone in order to improve the sound quality. I hope that the sound quality is better. Who knows? Maybe it's exactly the same. I don't know. You know, but I hope that the sound quality is better. I've got this really good microphone which allows me to record in various ways. This one I'm using on the stereo function. So you should get a kind of stereo effect if you're listening to this on headphones. You might kind of get a stereo effect as I move my head around the microphone like this. I don't know if you can hear that. If you're listening to it on headphones, you should hear me going from one ear to the next ear like that. That's pretty cool, isn't it? That's like a special effect almost. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? Well, I realized that I just bought this microphone to improve the sound quality. And now I'm going to play you a recording which has got pretty low sound quality. But anyway, enough nonsense. I'm going to stop speaking nonsense because I do this too much. I'm going to play you the conversation now. Listen carefully to it. Try and understand it. If you feel generous enough, you could even try and make a transcript and send it to me so that other listeners can read it while they listen and understand it. Also, if you're feeling generous, send me a donation via PayPal. You should find a button on the website. Just click on that. Send me a little bit of money so that I can keep doing this. That's it. Now you can listen to the conversation between me and my colleague and friend and fellow musician, Francis. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, I will include some content from the conversation on the webpage. You'll see the list of points that I make during the conversation. That's it for now. Enjoy the conversation, ladies and gentlemen. Bye, 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 bye.
So, I'm here with Francis, and so we're just sitting here at work, and I'm recording this on my phone. I've never tried to record anything on this phone before. So if it sounds rubbish, then don't blame me. Blame BlackBerry, because they're obviously not as good as iPhones. So I'm here at work with Francis, and I've decided to speak to Francis because I know that you you play music and you also speak Spanish.
Right? Spanish, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I thought I was just thinking about this idea of the similarities between learning a language, like learning English, and learning to play music. Right?
Yeah.
So first of all, I just want to ask you. Well, I mean, how long have you been teaching English now?
About since 1973.
Wow. Longer than I've been born.
So, yeah, but that doesn't mean, you know, that when they say, oh, I got 38 years experience or something, but no, because you do the same thing every year, so it's just 1 year's experience.
Right, so in fact, you're just repeating the same
thing. Well, you know.
Well, I'm not sure I agree with that. I think 38 years experience.
Well, I don't know, something like that.
Yeah, it's very good. Okay, so you play music, right? What kind of music do you play, or what instrument do you play?
Well, you know that.
I know the answer already.
Guitar, yeah.
Right, okay. What kind of guitar is it? I mean, what sort of guitar playing do you do?
Well, actually, when I started at school, I did every day, an hour a day, and then on holidays, 2 hours every day over 2 years.
Right.
And it really was, you know, when it was a sunny day, it was really hard, but I just made myself do it.
Yeah.
And I managed to get around, but it was really sort of focusing on the physical movement and the pain of it, and getting it wrong endlessly and going back. Just lots and lots and lots of practice.
And frustration and pain and stuff.
Yeah, but also
physical.
But it's like sort of, just like learning grammar or something, really thinking, because you've got to read the notes and know which note it is, and you're just thinking all the time, where do I put my finger and all this kind of thing.
Wow, mm-hmm. So
that was one, but at the same time as at school, I played in the band.
Right.
And that was just getting together all these guys who were just couldn't play and just learning.
Mm.
And so it was much less concentrating in a sense, because we were just kind of having fun and just, you know.
So on one hand, you were kind of studying like quite hard the art of playing the guitar. And then at the same time with this band, you were just sort of messing around with the music as well. That's quite interesting.
But of course, you learn in a different way with the band, because it's really hard, as you know, because you play the guitar too.
Yeah.
When you're learning, it's really hard to change from one chord to another.
Yeah. At the right
quickly.
Time. Yeah.
And the only way that I could ever learn it was that if you're playing with other people, you've got to.
Yeah.
So just you do it. Probably do it wrong, but you do it.
A bit like, in a way, it's one of the best ways to learn a language, apparently, is to just be put into a situation where you have to survive.
You can't run away.
Yeah. Like where you have to work in English or something.
Exactly.
And that's often the best way because you're forced to improve just by survival.
That's right.
Just going back to music, what made you want to play? Because obviously, for you to keep doing all these difficult exercises with your fingers and everything, you must have had to want to improve. So what was it that made you want to keep playing?
Well, I think I started the same reason anyone else, because, you know, I'd had a few guitar heroes for a few years before I could play.
Who were your guitar heroes?
Hank Marvin.
Marvin from the Shadows.
Yeah, right. And then Clapton and Jeff Beck and
Hendrix.
Yeah, but not quite, I mean, like, because it was... Not quite so much.
Yeah.
You know, I really liked it, but it was just on another stratosphere. So you went.
So you had these heroes who you looked up to, that you wanted to be like, and that's what made you push through all the pain in your fingers.
But I think also just being a bit obsessive as well.
Right, right, right.
That was
right.
Part of it, probably.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. What about language then? You speak Spanish.
Yeah.
How long have you been speaking Spanish?
Well, probably the same. Since 1973.
Everything started in 1973. You didn't start playing the guitar in 1973?
No, didn't.
Okay, so you've been speaking Spanish for a long time too.
Yeah.
So how did you end up learning Spanish? Why did you choose to learn Spanish?
Yeah, well, it was amazing why, but also the how is quite interesting.
How
and
why?
Topic because yeah. Why? Just because I wanted to go to South America for, just because, you know, just because I'd met a few people who'd been and I heard some music from there.
Yeah.
Just wanted to go to Rio and, you know,
yeah,
see all the
yeah.
girls and, you know, all that stuff, you know. And so it just happened. It wasn't, you know, I didn't want to. It was just because I went there.
Right.
So I had to learn it.
Right, I see. So it was more that you chose to go to South America than
yeah.
you chose to learn
Absolutely,
Spanish.
Absolutely, yeah.
What was it like in South America in 1973?
Well, it's great. I mean, but it's always good to go. When you're young, goes another place,
yeah,
it's amazing.
Yeah.
So it was
great,
brilliant.
Great, okay.
But I was just thinking about the language. I think it would say subjunctive. And that,
subjunctive.
Because I remember, it must be, did you do French at school as well?
I did French at school, yeah.
And I remember for years, you'd go through each year and people would, you'd sort of say, you know, in that form you have to do subjunctive. And it was like a horrible torture chamber.
Yeah.
Everybody hated doing it because learning the French subjunctive in books, it was just like the hardest thing ever.
Yeah.
And everyone thought, God, at least I don't have to do it. It's still 2 years before I have to do the subjunctive, you know.
Yeah.
And when I finally got to do it, it was just as horrible as everyone said. It was
right.
really hard.
Yeah.
But then learning Spanish, what happened was, it's just a classic thing, somebody pointed out to me that what I just said was subjunctive. So I just picked it up, just like a,
yeah,
what do you call it, like a parrot.
Yeah, yeah.
Just
yeah,
because
like a sponge.
Like people would say hi there, you know, but the way they say hi there, sort of, or it's bye or something,
yeah.
And it included a subjunctive. So I was just saying it. Cause,
so you just picked it up,
yeah,
yeah, without having to
And so it was so easy, because I picked it, you know,
yeah,
except
yeah.
for the bits. There's one bit of subjunctive which I didn't pick up.
Yeah.
And I still can't get it right.
Subjunctive is just a type of verb form, isn't it? It's a specific kind of verb form that
yeah.
occurs in certain grammatical structures.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, in English, a subjunctive would be like...
Well, we don't really have it, I think, strictly
we've
speaking.
We've got types of it, haven't we? Like, for example, if you say in a second conditional, that's a subjunctive, isn't it? Like,
but I would say
won the lottery.
Yeah, but I would say that's kind of like... That's like, it's like this, the past simple, but used in the same way. But you know, the trouble with the subjunctive in Spanish or French or something,
yeah.
is actually a different form.
Okay.
So you've got to learn all these different endings and stuff as well.
Right.
You know, at least in English, you've got the same word.
Yeah.
Use it in a different, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
it's...
In French and Spanish, there are like many, many different verb forms depending on the subject that you use.
Mm.
So he, she, it,
yeah.
they, we, you, and stuff.
And all these different... Endings, what do you call that? Conjugations.
Conjugations, endings
yeah.
for verbs depending on...
And so subjunctive, you know, because you've got the present and you've got, you know, all different, you know, all the different tenses have
yeah.
got a subjunctive form. And so.
Right. Oh, it's complicated.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Okay, so then, right, establishing that you play music and you've learned a second language. The next question then is really, how... can you become great at music, or how can you become great at English? So I'm trying to find some kind of comparison between learning English and learning a language.
Yeah.
And what I did is I was thinking about this the other day, and I've just written down a list of things that I think are similar between learning music and learning language. So like the first thing I've got here on top of the list is you have to love music. If you're willing to learn how to play guitar or another instrument very well, you have to have a love of
yeah,
music.
Yeah.
You know, like
yeah, and you see that the students that we have, the ones who really do best, you can just see from the first time you meet them, they actually, apart from the fact that they need it, they really actually love it. They just
yeah.
have fun playing around with words and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. There's something enjoyable about just learning to communicate in a certain way. Yeah. You know, enjoy playing around with language, just like you have to enjoy playing music. You have to live music. You know, you have to have music in your life. Like, for example, for me, whenever I leave work, whenever I leave home, I have my Walkman, my MP3 player, and I'm listening to music all the time. At any moment, when I go to sleep at night, I have music playing when I'm going to sleep.
Mm.
I put music on first thing in the morning when I wake up, and I tap my fingers on the table without thinking about it. So I've just got music running around in my head. I'm just living in this world of music.
Mm.
And I think probably for learners of English, they have to live in a kind of a world of English, really. Maybe if they come to England to study, they can kind of live in this English world where they put the TV on in the morning and they can watch the news in English, or they read the newspaper on the bus, or, you know, these sorts of things. It's just sort of English 360 degrees around. As well as studying it, they just have it going on in their lives.
I was just thinking there that because I don't use Walkman or anything like that.
Yeah.
But actually, wherever I'm going, I normally got a song going in my head.
Yeah.
It's just in my head.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the same with learning as well, that even if you're not at that time, you've got the Walkman on,
yeah,
you're just thinking in English or just thinking about it,
yeah,
and it's going on in your
letting head. The English run around in your head. Listen to it a lot. Now obviously if you're going to become good at music, you have to listen to music a lot. So I mean, if I want to become a great drummer, then I would listen to other great drummers, you know. And it's the same with English. You need to listen to English a lot in order to get good at it.
And you might be, because when you're becoming a great, you might be listening to the great, to the drummers in different ways. You might be like thinking, oh wow, he's doing a sort of triple wiggly beat there or something.
Yeah.
Or you might be just listening to the whole band, and without thinking about it, you're just really enjoying the swing or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So it could be the same with English, that you're actually listening to English saying, wow, he just, that guy just used that word I heard in class the other day.
Yeah.
Or look at that little structure he used.
Yeah.
Or in a completely different way, you might just be just kind of listening to it and
just
thinking
enjoying
about
enjoying like the general rhythm of it, or just,
or
the way
just
it
thinking about the content of it.
Yeah. When I lived in Japan, I used to listen to the radio, local radio. I had a little radio in my room and I'd switch it on. I'd listen to local radio, didn't understand anything they were saying, but I loved just listening to the rhythm of Japanese people chatting. I just really, really liked it. And I never really learned Japanese very well, but I do feel like I've got a sense of the rhythm and the pronunciation and the intonation.
That's brilliant,
there.
Because, you know, with kids, and I'm sure you know people who've got kids, and it's quite, it happened with my great niece, and she, or was it Kevin's grandson, something like that. Anyway, the thing was that they get to a point where they start, what they say, the sound of what they say is exactly like what an adult says.
Yeah. The intonation.
But actually, they're talking complete rubbish. You know, they're just making noises. But so they learn the rhythm and the sound.
Yes.
In a social way.
Before they learn the words.
They sort of come up to you and they sort of say, just like saying, oh, how are you doing? You know, how you doing?
Yeah. Like my cousin's children do that. They will just come out with phrases that sound like something an adult has said, but they don't really know what they're saying.
But I'm just saying, not this kid was just making a noise,
just noises
in the right rhythm.
Yeah. Well, yeah, maybe there's a point to that you kind of pick up the rhythm and the way the language sounds before you even pick up the words and things. Yeah.
So that listening is really important.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with that. I've got a massive list of things here. Practice all the time, every day.
Yeah.
If you want to play music brilliantly, you need to practice. You need to play your instrument every day in the same way you need to practice. You need to speak English every day too. Do it with other people. You don't just do it on your own.
Yeah.
By doing it, I mean play music or communicate, talk to other people.
Yeah.
Sit in a room full of people and play music together, or you can meet other people and speak English to them.
Probably a bit of both, actually, isn't it?
Yeah.
You want to do a bit by yourself too, just to sort of
to study it on your own without any distractions, but then you kind of do it collectively too. Learn from the masters. So that's kind of people who do it well. So like I listen to people like Stuart Copeland and Mitch Mitchell, who I think are brilliant drummers. And when I was learning the drums, I mean I'm still learning the drums, but when I was learning the drums a few years ago, I would just copy the people who I thought were brilliant. And I'm sure it's similar in English. You need to
But it depends how good you are, because I don't mean you, but you know, that's pretty challenging for a lot of people.
Yes.
You know, there's some things I've been trying to copy.
I'm not saying I could do it.
But you know what I mean? It's kind of...
But I mean, what I mean...
What I'm just thinking is that maybe it's not always from the masters, but maybe it's just from someone who's better than you, or someone who does something that you don't do that you like.
Yeah, you've got to just sort of be inspired by other people.
Yeah.
And you've got to listen to people speaking English and you think, they speak really well, I want to be like that, or just take inspiration from them. And you can find people on the internet, not just people you know, but there's people on the internet, like famous people who speak English really well, and you can look up to them. You know, people like... Steve Jobs in his presentations that he does. He's very inspiring and he uses language in a very effective way. And even someone like Barack Obama, who is a very good communicator. These are the people that you can use as inspiration or as a benchmark. In the same way, you can listen to great musicians and think, wow, I'd love to be able to do that.
Yeah.
I've got things like pay attention to melody and rhythm. So obviously in music, you've got to know what notes you're playing and you've got to know what rhythm you're doing. In the same way in English, you've got to be careful that you're using the right melody because that will affect the meaning of your sentence and that you're using the right rhythm in the words and sentences you use.
Yeah, it's definitely.
Straightforward.
And that kind of connects with what I was saying before about the baby.
Yeah. Yeah, the baby picks up the rhythm first.
And I think, like I was saying to you earlier on about, you know, say with grammar learning, and then we're teaching adult learning, and they've got these errors which are like almost unchangeable because they come from their first language and they're really strong.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you think, how can you, one thing you say, it doesn't matter. You know, you're never going to change, doesn't matter. But on the other hand, you think, okay, well, if you, rather than thinking too much about the rule in the grammar book, just listen to it and hear the melody, hear the tune, and feel it in your stomach, just get the feeling of it. And, and maybe that's the way you'll get to do it rather than
studying the rules, the sort of science of it.
Yeah. Just I think it works for some people, but it doesn't work for, you know.
Yeah.
So I think what you say, the melody and the rhythm is really...
Yeah, you've got to be aware of that. You've got to open your ears.
The ears and the stomach are really important for language learning.
Yeah, absolutely. Choose the style that you want. So, if, for example, if you're learning to play drums, are you going to play like rock, heavy metal, reggae, funk, jazz? In the same way, if you're learning English... Why do you really need English? Do you need it just to chat to people in a social way, or do you need business English, or do you need need to learn how to write certain things or use legal English? You've got to choose what type of English you want and then go for that. Don't just kind of try and do everything because you won't really be able to do it. You just choose your style and stick with it. So if you want rock and roll, then you do rock and roll. Obviously, you get to a point eventually where you're able to do all of them. You know, when you're good enough, you're able to change your style and be flexible. But you've got to bear in mind what kind of music you want to do, or what kind of English you want to speak, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So what else have I got? I've got learn to read it. So obviously you need to learn to read English, but you also need to learn to read music. But you can do it. You can use English without knowing how to read it, and you can use music without knowing how to read it too. But we know that the best musicians... You know, all the best jazz musicians can read music.
Yeah.
They don't often, but they can.
Yeah.
You know, all the composers, all the, you know, greatest composers we've ever had, they were able to use notation and so on. So
that's a different one with sort of pop music.
Yeah.
But for sure, it gives you an extra dimension.
Or at least...
I mean, I don't know if maybe Hendrix could.
I mean, at least...
Maybe he couldn't, and he was still the greatest, you know, so it's kind of...
I reckon Hendrix could read, like, guitar tab or chords and things.
Okay, to some...
You know, so at least as a guitarist, you might need to know... You might need to learn how to read the fingering notes for chords and things like that, that sort of thing.
But whatever, in any case, for sure, it's got to give you an extra dimension.
Yeah.
Got to help you.
Yeah. I mean, it's more important in English to learn how to read than it is in music. But as well as learning how to read it, you need to learn how to improvise it too and just have fun with it. So you need to learn how to just do things without any reading or any music given to you. You just learn to improvise. And I think that's really important in English.
Invent words.
Make
jokes.
Just sort of... Without being given any instructions or any guidelines, just speak freely.
Yeah.
You know, it's fluency, isn't it? Study the history of it. So study the history of music and study the history of the language, you know. Watch it happen live. So go and see live music and also go and observe people using English in real life situations.
Like go and see a stand-up comic.
Right, yeah, exactly. Go and see stand-up comic.
Or Prime Minister.
Or go and see the Prime Minister.
What's the difference?
Yeah, or go to the theatre or go to the cinema. Well, the cinema's not live.
No.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And in the same way, you go and see live music to be inspired by it. Put it on your iPhone or your iPod. So obviously, you put music on your iPod, but you can put English on your iPod too in the form of
thinking about this a lot.
Yeah. Podcast, you know, you know, listen to the news and stuff on your iPhone. Do it with your body. Now, by that I mean when you play music, it's a physical thing.
Yeah.
And it's also a physical thing when you speak English because you're using your mouth and your tongue and the muscles and stuff and your breathing and everything.
Yeah. And what's it? Voice training.
Voice training.
Because you can like have problems with your throat or something if you talk too much in the wrong way.
Use it to communicate. Obviously, you communicate a message through English, but also through music. Be emotionally touched by it. So when you listen to music, it should touch you, but also you should be sort of having some emotional contact or connection with the language or the content of the language. So, you know, read a book in English and be touched by it, or, you know, have some emotional connection to the language you're using. Understand your instrument. Understand how you make the sounds that you make. So as a guitarist, you need to know how the pickups work, how to get the best sounds out of your instrument. Yeah. And as a English speaker, you need to know how your mouth is producing the noises that you're making.
It's quite unusual that people do that.
What?
Understand. It's a nice analogy, but possibly less common.
You mean understanding how your mouth works? Yeah, but learners of English hopefully will learn, for example, how to make th sounds or t sounds by knowing the position of the tongue and all those things.
But that kind of thing, I think, is like, if you're fascinated by it, then it's really interesting.
Yeah.
But if somebody makes you do it, or you know what I mean?
Yeah, it can
very
be
often
boring.
It can be like a problem. Or
true. It can be extremely boring.
Yeah.
That's right.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Do it every day, even if it hurts.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, that's true. Like I was saying before, when I was learning the guitar.
Yeah. It hurts your fingers to learn the guitar.
Yeah.
And in a similar way, learning English can hurt you.
I remember that when I was, like you were saying, in Japan, when I was in Venezuela, and I used to, every night, sit down in front of the TV to try to just because I couldn't understand anything.
Yeah.
Just endlessly, and I'd understand a bit, and then I start getting tired, and I get frustrated. But yeah. I just kept on doing it every night.
The pain is in the sense that you're frustrated, you know, and maybe embarrassed, you know. But you have to just keep doing it, even if it hurts. What else? Learn the theory. Learn the theory. So learn the grammar, or learn the musical theory, but know when to throw it out the window.
Yeah.
So you've got to learn the rules of grammar, but you also need to know when you can break the rules of grammar. And you need to learn the rules of musical theory, and you need to know when to just throw the theory out the window.
Yeah, I see. I thought when you said that first, you meant about kind of like we were talking about before, like the conscious and unconscious part of it.
Yeah, it relates to that, knowing the grammar.
Really close to that thing, but... Can I borrow dice if you've got one?
Do you
know where
I don't have any dice.
No, but I've got an idea to how you can do it.
Yeah.
It's all right.
You know what you can do?
Sorry.
If you get a piece of paper, you do this. That's what I do, but it depends how... If you do like that.
Yeah, the board game.
And you just go like that, and you just fill the thing with that, you know, until it's
numbers.
Full. And then you just go like that, and it's done. Takes a bit longer.
Yeah. Right. So another thing I've got is, we were just saying that that's similar to your idea of, what were you saying? Like, learning it from the heart and learning it, the rules.
Because I was really a bit, you know, in as much as you do get fascinated by any of the sort of theory of it, but it always seemed interesting to me that thing about... Because it was really trendy at one point, you know, explicit language learning versus implicit language, you know.
Mm.
And when communicative language teaching came in, at first, in the extreme form, the idea was you just did it. So it was just like learning your first language.
Yeah.
So the only, you never taught people anything. You just had endless communicative activities.
So communicative language learning is about putting students in communicative situations, and just by doing tasks, for example, using language, they somehow just learn, they
acquire.
But
then people realize that wasn't enough.
Yeah.
You know, and so it could be a very slow method.
Yeah, and the other method is just to study the rules in a very mechanical way.
But in fact, what we do nowadays is try to combine the two.
Yeah, yeah, it's like a studying the language and then using it in genuine situations. Mm. So,
but I quite like the thing, I've told you, you know, that thing which is probably a bit old now, from the 90s, but the thing about awareness.
Yeah.
So the thing about being aware of language. So you don't, whether you're not, you drill it or you repeat it or whatever, but just always being aware. So it's like you've got to make an effort when you're learning a language. You can't just sit there.
Yeah.
You've got to make an effort. And so whether it's because you're in a classroom and you're really kind of constantly really aware of what everybody's saying, but also when you're in the pub, again, you're kind of really aware and listening and not just using it, but kind of thinking about it a bit.
Noticing.
That's the word, noticing, yeah.
Noticing bits of language, like noticing, oh, that's interesting, he just used a kind of passive form there.
Yeah.
What kind of geek would you be if you were doing that? That's what you have to do, though.
Yeah, but not necessarily that, but just say, oh, that's a nice phrase, or that was the thing I heard yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, I've got here, start early. So I mean, start early in your life. So obviously, ideally, when you're a child, and don't give up. So I mean, encourage your children to do it.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, like, it's very important for kids to start early. The earlier, the better.
Yeah, especially for the pronunciation and stuff.
Yeah. Use it to entertain other people. So, I mean, if you're the sort of person who likes to entertain other people, you can use music to entertain people. You can also use your English to make jokes and stuff. Enjoy the way it sounds. That's obvious. Just enjoy the way music sounds, but enjoy the way English can sound in different accents and things.
Yeah,
you know,
like Christopher Walken,
like a famous actor, like Christopher Walken. If you love
how would he sound?
Well, I would do the impression, but none of my listeners are going to know who Christopher Walken is or B what he sounds like.
Yeah,
It's not really going to work.
No, Robert De Niro
again is more of a face than a sound.
All right. Yeah.
Again, these are famous actors who I like to do impressions of. But I find students don't know what Robert De Niro's voice is like.
No.
Anyway. So record yourself and listen to it. So when you're playing a song on a guitar, you record yourself and listen back to it, right?
Mm.
And similarly, you can do that with English. You record your own voice, listen back to it, maybe record yourself saying something, like a tape script from the news or something, and then record yourself doing it, then listen to the newsreader doing it, listen to yourself doing it, and compare the differences.
Mm.
And similarly with guitar, you play a song, record it, and then listen back to it and think, how does that sound? You know? What else? Watch other people doing it on YouTube. So there's lots and lots of guitarists on YouTube showing you how to play particular songs. Do you ever use YouTube to learn songs?
That's how I learned how to play guitar.
Oh, right.
Well, it's just not very much now because I don't practice very much, but it is great. And that was a new song recently that we, you know, and I saw it on Jules Holland as it happened. The camera was completely focused the whole time on the guitar and fingers, and so it made it much easier.
You actually get on YouTube these guys who will teach you how to learn a song.
Yeah.
You know? And in the same way, you can use YouTube to pick up English, and there's people teaching English on YouTube.
But I thought of another thing, which is, I can't remember if it was Jack Fortescue did you know him?
Yeah, Jack,
I don't know if it was one of his things, but somebody told it to us. And the thing about improve your pronunciation is like get a film with an actor that you quite like, same sex as you, and that you wouldn't mind sounding a bit like, and then you just take a bit of the film and you just keep pausing every time he says something, just repeat what he says.
Yeah.
So it's the same with music. You could do that. Certainly that's how you learn songs.
Mm. play a lot. You play
a lot. Playing the song and keep pausing it until you've got the last bit right.
Yeah, yeah. I really improved my bass guitar playing by sitting in my room with some music on and playing the bass along to the music.
Oh yeah, but that's another one. But it's slightly different because the other one is you in both cases you listen to a phrase and pause and then you repeat the phrase.
Right.
So it's like, you know.
Right. Okay.
Whereas yours is more kind of the fluency thing.
Playing along with it at the same time. Yeah. Okay. Think about how either music or language changes depending on the situation. So, for example, the music that is played will be different depending on who's playing it, the audience, the occasion, the geography. So depending on where you are in the world, English will change depending on the context. So if you're speaking socially or if you're speaking to an audience, how big the audience is, and again, where you are in the world. So, you know, like you got to think about different types of English.
So are you talking, say, like, are you even talking about like salsa as opposed to rock and like Indian English as opposed to Australian English? Or
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, all of those things. Yeah. Or even like, let's say in terms of English, if you are doing a presentation, the language that you use in your presentation will change depending on the size of the audience, right? So if you're speaking to a big audience, then you're going to use certain phrases to talk to this massive
audience.
Different technique completely. If you're speaking to a room of five people, then it's a lot more personal, you know, and a lot more informal, really. Similarly, in music, if you're playing a little gig to a little room, the people, you play in a certain way, but if you've got a stadium to entertain, you've got to put on a completely different show. You've got to make it big, and it's like a big show and lots of entertainment. Whereas if there's a little group of people, you might even chat with them a little bit between the songs.
Yeah. I was just thinking a physical thing. I'd completely forgotten that
physical stuff.
But that when you like the classical guitar, you have to put the sort of the kind of the waist of the guitar.
Yeah, on your leg.
On your left knee.
But if
you're playing sort of folk guitar or whatever, you put it on your right, you know, so it's actually a different position.
Yeah.
Of course, if you're playing rock, you're standing up or whatever.
Yeah. And similarly in English, if you're making a presentation, you've got to use your body position in the right way to communicate to the audience. So again, it's a similar thing.
Mm.
If you're, let's say, on a date, you know, you need to think about the way you're using yourself to communicate in your body position, whether you make physical contact by, you know, by touching the hand or something when you speak, those sorts of things.
Well, that's like cultural.
Yeah, and then by geography, I mean like in, say, Jamaica, they will speak with the Jamaican accent. And then in Jamaica, they play reggae music you know, with a different rhythm, stuff like that. So I've got... Next in my list is sing it regularly, sing. Mm. So it's obviously in music you need to sing regularly, but in English it might help you to sing songs in English, do karaoke in English, right? And enjoy the different types that you get.
Well, I don't know. There was once a guy doing the proficiency exam. I think he must have been. It can't have been totally true, but he swore. And he got it. He was really, really good at English. He said he'd never been out of... He was in Colombia.
Yeah.
He'd never been out of Colombia, and he'd learned all his English from listening to heavy metal. I can't believe it. But he, you know, he was like a serious kind of guy. He wasn't much of a joker.
Yeah.
So who knows?
Well, you know, you can learn a lot by finding a band that you love and then looking at all the lyrics for their songs and listening to the music and reading the lyrics and then trying to understand what they're trying to tell you.
Well, I'm sure that's
a lot of people, a lot of my friends in Japan learn English like that. Enjoy the different types from around the world. So obviously we've got different types of music, like reggae I just mentioned, like American, sort of black American music, you know, like sort of hip-hop, rhythm and blues, funk, soul, British kinds of music, like Brit, you know, like traditional British sort of 60s stuff.
The African music, the South American, Latin American, Chinese, what else?
Yeah, there's so many different types of music, and similarly you get so many different types of English, like Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, America, Canada.
We do have to say that there's more types of music than types
of English. Are more types of music, of course, of course there are.
Fortunately.
And I've got, like, let's see learning as an ongoing challenge that doesn't really have an end. So, I mean... if you're learning English, you just have to keep learning all the time.
Oh, yeah.
It's never going to end.
No.
And similarly with learning an instrument, you just keep improving all the time as you play. I've got here...
Or even just keep trying to not go downhill.
Yeah, just keep maintaining your level.
Which is the same with English, isn't it? Because people, especially, like for us, people come here to London for a few weeks. And the last thing you always say to them is, whatever you do, when you go and get a teacher, get a club, because minimally, not to lose what you've learned.
Yeah, you've got to keep
Not to lose the level you've got.
Yeah, you have to. You must maintain it. I've got notice the way in which it's been influenced by Black American culture. So maybe this is a bit remote, but what I mean is...
Well, there's only one kind of music.
Music has been influenced a lot by Black American
culture. Yeah, but only certain kinds of music.
Well, yeah, true. But, you know, if you think about pop and rock...
Yeah, but we're talking, you know, but if this is... People might listen to this all over the world.
Yeah.
So it's quite an Anglo-centered thing now. I mean, mostly we're talking about Anglo music.
I suppose so, yeah.
We're not talking about, you know... Chinese or Afghani or South American.
Yeah, that's true. But I still think like popular forms of music in many parts of the world now are really influenced by hip-hop and R&B.
Well, that's a good point, actually, because, I mean, like even, say, Cuban music, which would always have been influenced much more by... Well, except Silvio Rodriguez was influenced by the Beatles, but, you know, by sort of African and stuff. But now...
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, as far as I can tell, like all of the modern... variations traditional music combined with hip-hop.
Yeah, I didn't see it quite like that at first. It's a good point. And it's much more true now than it would have been, say, in the 60s.
Absolutely. I think Black American music had a massive effect on music. And then similarly in English, Black American culture has influenced the slang in English.
Yeah.
And a lot of the slang that we use in England is influenced by Black American slang, you know. Notice also the way that some parts of it are still stuck in the past. So, for example, let's say classical music. I don't mean to be negative about it, but classical music is all about music that was composed sort of hundreds of years ago. And in a similar way, in English, a lot of English is stuck in the past, like this formal legal English that we see in contracts. Yeah. It's like stuck in... somewhere around the turn of the last century, right? It's almost like Victorian-style language. I'm not saying that classical music is bad. It's not. It's brilliant. No. In fact, it's just the culmination of all the best music that we've ever had. But all I'm trying to say is that maybe English, some parts of English is still really super traditional.
Yeah. I'm thinking hard about it because I wasn't expecting that one.
That's a little bit remote.
Well, no, it's just because classical... I mean, I suppose the thing about... depends what you mean. If you mean modern, like... classical composers who are composing now.
Yeah.
That's kind of a different thing. And I'm not even sure if people call that classical music or not.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But I mean, if people are playing, if you're talking about Mozart and Bach and Beethoven and all that, I suppose it's just because it was really good stuff and people still like playing it.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. Okay, maybe I'm wrong about that one.
No, I don't know. It's just nothing to be wrong about.
Yeah, true. Okay. But, my last point is that on the subject of English and music, you have to realise that the English do both of those things the best. Right?
So,
you know, we're the best at speaking English. And also we make the best music.
Yeah, obviously, yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of joking about that, of course.
No.
I'm not serious about that at this point. So those are my thoughts. What about you? Do you have anything else?
Well, no, I think I've because we both got our bit of paper here.
Yeah.
And I think that the things I've written on my bit of paper have kind of come into the conversation, you know, one thing or other. I mean, I was going to talk about Sudoku at one point.
But
it's kind of the same thing. It's like exactly the same thing as what I was saying about if you're learning, as a guitarist or whatever, you've got to learn a new rhythm. Did we talk about this already? You've got to learn it, and so it's very difficult at first. If it's a totally new rhythm, you've never played it before.
Like, for example, in this Kings of Leon song, we play in the band.
Yeah, so I had to think about it a lot and really focus, concentrate like mad just to not get it wrong. Not even to get it right, just to not get it wrong.
Yeah.
And then suddenly, after about 6 months or something like that, one day I suddenly realized I was just doing it. I wasn't even thinking about it.
Yeah.
And so, like, with Sudoku, it's the same.
Sudoku, that's the Japanese puzzle kind of game
with the nine boxes.
Nine boxes, and you have to write numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 into each box and into each line.
Exactly.
The popular thing, you get it in newspapers, like a kind of number puzzle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Sudoku. Right, so
when I started, like a lot of people, not maybe the naturals, then in order to work out which number's in which box, I did what a lot of other idiots do, which is write down every number that it could be.
Yeah.
So every box has got like lots five of little numbers around.
Yeah.
And one day somebody said to me, the only way to do Sudoku is don't do that. I think it was Robin.
Yeah.
Just don't do that.
Yeah.
And so one guy said, all right. So I just stopped doing it, and suddenly I kind of, and suddenly you start seeing the patterns rather than working it out logically.
Yeah.
You suddenly see a pattern.
Right.
You know,
right,
which is how they say brilliant mathematicians, the brilliant mathematicians, they see numbers as colors. So they don't actually calculate it, 57 divided by this multiply.
They just
feel or see the answer, you know.
Right. Wow.
So in a way, I kind of think with language, with music, with the whole thing, that is when you're a kid, you learn language that way, holistically.
You just pick it up.
You just pick it up as a baby or whatever, you know, get kid growing up. And maybe Jimi Hendrix or someone, but I'm for sure he practiced, you know.
Yeah. Every day.
But some people do learn, like for me, I learned Spanish much more like in the street than French, because French I did 9 years at school.
Yeah.
And I still can't speak properly.
Yeah.
You know? But with that, I just learned it on the street and reading and everything.
Yeah.
And so it was a more holistic way. But still, I think, so just coming to the thing about, to what extent do you learn things, whether it's the guitar or Sudoku or something, do you have to go through that very conscious practice stage first before you just get it holistically?
Mm.
Or can you go straight for the holistic? And I don't know, it's just kind of balance.
I think it's both, isn't it?
Depending on the person, the stage, the age, the whatever. But
probably something like both, though, where you have to be exposed to English a lot by listening to it, reading it, being in English situations, surviving, and also then getting your grammar book out and studying the language. It's got a combination, and you have to find out which one's the best for you.
But it's like bottom up, top down. I mean, sometimes you have to go, it's like practicing the same tennis stroke a million times until it's right.
Mm.
Sometimes you have to do it that way, or like me with my Sudoku.
Yeah.
But other times, you can just get it. You just get it first time.
Yeah.
Without realizing, you just got it. Whether it's a new piece of language, a new phrase, a new riff, something, you just, somehow, you just know how to do it.
Yeah.
And so, kind of a bit of both, I guess.
Yeah. Right, well, that's the end of our discussion about music and language.
That was really long.
It was. That's about 40 minutes.
How long are your podcasts?
40 minutes
normally?
Long. The podcasts normally are about between 30 minutes and 1 hour.
Really?
Yeah.
So people,
it's like a radio show.
People are going to actually sit down and someone's going to listen to this whole thing.
Thousands of people will be listening to this.
But they'll be able to have a pause.
They can pause it as much as they like.
Yeah, yeah.
They can listen to 5 minutes one day, 5 minutes the next day.
Yeah.
They can listen to all of it in one go.
Do you know how many people you've got listening?
Well, I get something like 20,000 downloads every 30 days.
Wow.
So that's all
is that quite satisfying?
Yes, very satisfying. Yeah. That means that about 20,000. So that means that my something is listened to on the website or is downloaded or listened to on iTunes 20,000 times. So I don't know actually how many people that is.
Because you mean it could be the same person.
Yeah, I mean,
several times.
It could be the same person listening to several different episodes several times. I've got something like 65, 66 episodes.
But like, if I was going to listen to this and I couldn't face listening to 45
all of it,
minutes,
yeah.
If I listen to like 10 minutes today and then I fast forward in the next 10 minutes the next day and so I listen to it six times, would that count as six hits?
It depends how you've done it. So if you are listening to it on iTunes and you've downloaded it, that's one download. If you're listening to it on the website, and each day you go back onto the website and you press the play button on the website, each day that counts as a new download for me. Actually, the best way to do it is to download it using iTunes, to subscribe to the podcast, download it using iTunes. That counts as one download for me. But then when you play it in iTunes, if you pause it after 10 minutes and then turn your computer off, when you open iTunes again, it will still be at 10 minutes. Luke's English podcast will still be at the 10-minute spot where you left it before.
Oh,
so it's easier to use iTunes.
When you said subscribe, what's that?
Subscribe is when you basically click a button, which then makes you kind of join. It means that you can then automatically download the episode whenever it's published.
But you have to pay for it?
No. You don't have to pay for any of these podcasts.
Hmm.
But I do ask my...
You have a sort of thing a bit like... What was the band?
Radiohead, basically...
Give if you wanted.
Yeah, they offered their album as a free download, but they said if you want
which
to...
Which one was that?
In Rainbows.
Was it? Yeah.
So I'm doing that. I'm saying it's free, but I'm leaving it up to my listeners to decide whether they will donate some money or not.
Yeah.
And, it depends on what my listeners think is reasonable. If they think that they are getting something from this which is worth paying for, and they think that I should be given some money as a fair kind of balanced consideration for what I'm doing, then they will donate some money to me. If people just want to take it, then that's up to them. So obligation to provide biscuits.
Nice, like the old white bicycles in Amsterdam.
Yeah, well, you can just take the bicycles and you don't have to pay.
I don't know who put them there in the first place, but it was this kind of thing.
I wonder how many white bicycles are left in Amsterdam.
I think none.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much, Francis. It's been very interesting to speak to you. And let's get together and play some music soon.
Yeah, we've done enough English now.
Let's do some music. Yeah. All right, then.
I hope I was near enough to the...
I hope you were near enough to the microphone too, but we'll see.
Yeah.
We might have to do this all over again.
So that was the conversation. I hope the sound quality wasn't a big problem for you. If it was a big problem, I apologize. But it's a free podcast. What do you expect? Because it's a free podcast, you definitely get your money's worth every time, don't you? Of course you do, because it's free. Right, so... that's it for this episode. Don't forget, you can read some notes on the website, which is teacherluke.podomatic.com. Teacher Luke, TEACHERLUKE.PODOMATIC.com. Go there. You can see some notes and things which you might find useful. You can also click on the donate button if you've got PayPal. Send me a bit of cash. Help me keep doing this. Make sure I don't give up. I could just stop doing this, couldn't I? I could do. But just keep me going. Send a bit of cash my way, ladies and gentlemen. I know I sound desperate when I ask that. But, what the hell? I'm not just doing this for nothing. That's it for now, ladies and gentlemen. I look forward to speaking to you in your headphones again at some point in the near future. Have a fantastic time. Have a brilliant life. Enjoy yourselves. That's it for this episode. Bye, 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 bye. Thanks again for listening to Luke's English Podcast. Don't forget, you can also find me on Facebook, YouTube, and on Twitter.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humor and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.